This land is your land. This land is my land. From California.
Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Daniel Hogan is here in the studio. Our guest this evening is Diane Mulcahy. She's the author of The Gig Economy. Just a moment. Diane will be with us and tell us all about that and hopefully quite a bit about herself. She's a very interesting person. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back. This is Heartstock.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that in the skyway. I saw below me that golden valley.
This land was made you and me.
This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. Tonight with us, we have Diane Mulcahy. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. So we were just chatting a little bit ago about one very little interesting tidbit, and that is that you have a dual citizenship, among many other very interesting things. Tell our listeners just a little intro about yourself and who you are.
Sure. So I am the author of The Gig Economy, and I write and I speak and I consult about that. I coach individuals who want to leave their full-time job and enter the gig economy. And I created and teach an MBA class on the gig economy. I've been doing that for about the past 6 years. I live in Boston, and I also work as an investor. I've been a private equity and venture capital investor for a number of years. That's really where I started my career and continue to do that kind of work. And as you mentioned, I am a dual Irish and U.S. citizen. My husband is Irish from Dublin, and I was able to get my citizenship through marriage to him.
I was curious about that. I would imagine there's quite a collective of Irish Bostonians as well.
Boston is a very Irish city. And I think what's interesting is we were in Ireland this summer and talking with one of my husband's uncles in the West. And he was telling us about the number of Irish that emigrated and came to Montana, actually, to pursue mining. And I hadn't been aware of that before he told me that. So I thought that was an interesting fact.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, there's a huge collective of Irish people here in Butte specifically, some of which do still have dual citizenship. And it's a whole long, beautiful story. I always think of Far and Away and, you know, so many stories like that. But let's talk about the gig economy. What motivated you to write this?
Well, the book really grew out of the class that I teach. Mm-hmm. So I've been teaching that. I've been teaching the class now. Well, at the time I wrote the book, I had been teaching the class for about 6 years. And the class had evolved over the time that I had been teaching it in response to the things that resonated with my students and their interests and the things that they were concerned about when it came to graduating and joining the gig economy and facing a workforce that was increasingly unstable and insecure. And I just decided that this was an emerging trend and a common issue. And I thought that writing a book that helped people figure out how to best prepare for independent work and how to think about joining the gig economy was something that I could really write with some expertise and knowledge. So I just want to say that when I talk about the gig economy, I'm not just talking about Uber drivers. I know if you're a casual observer of the gig economy, you might think that gig economy equals Uber. But the way that I write about the gig economy is anyone who's not a full-time employee in a full-time job. So that would include people who are freelancers or doing a gig on the side, or who are trying to hang out their own shingle and start their own business, or people who are consultants or advisors or independent contractors. So it's really incredibly broad. And I just wanted to take the expertise that I had developed from teaching this class, and the book is really packed with the homework assignments that I give my students, with the exercises that I have them do in class, and that help them figure out how they can best position themselves to navigate and succeed in working independently. And that doesn't mean they're all going to do that when they graduate, but what it does mean is it's increasingly unlikely that when they graduate, they're going to have a whole career of simply working as a full-time employee. Jobs are so unstable now that for most people, they'll spend some time during their career either working on the side or working independently on their own.
Well, and this is front and center in your personal career. And I'm sure that lends to a lot of your own expertise on the subject.
Absolutely. I don't just write about the gig economy. I definitely walk the talk. I've been working independently for 7 years now. I haven't worked in a traditional office in over a decade. I've worked remotely or in a different geographic location. So I absolutely have incorporated all of this into my own career and have chosen to work independently. I prefer that.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your personal background, and were there pivotal moments that led to where you are right now and the decisions that you made, resulting in you having the gig economy job in your own life?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I graduated from college, my first job out of college was at a consulting firm. I think that's reasonably common. I was a liberal arts major, and it's a great way to learn a lot of different skills and knowledge in a very broad kind of role. And it's a very common entry-level position. And I remember somebody telling me, you know, the key to your first job is to get into the organization and then look up and look around and see whose job you're interested in and focus your sights on that. And so I started my first job, and, you know, 6 months, a year in, I look up and I look around and I realize I don't want anyone's job. I didn't think anybody had a really good situation. People were working all the time. They had no personal lives to speak of. The hours were crazy. The pay wasn't great. And I just thought, there has to be a better way than this. I also really missed, you know, and this was coming out of college, and I really missed the variety that I used to have taking, you know, 5 or 6 different classes and being able to go from one to the other and do some reading or some writing or some problem sets, have different kinds of tasks. I really missed the challenge and the variety of that. I thought it was a really interesting way to spend my day. And I found that at work, it was much more narrow, specialized, uniform, even at that early stage. So right away, I sort of set my sights on figuring out a way that I could work differently. Now, I wasn't able to do that right away. I didn't have the experience or the expertise or the skills to go out on my own until I was in my 30s. So it took a decade of working for me to build up the skills that I needed to be able to go out on my own. But I looked for opportunities to do that. And when I saw them, I took them. It was definitely a way that I wanted to work, was to have, rather than one single job, I really wanted to have a portfolio of work where I could do different things. That was ultimately my goal.
Can you kind of lead us through some of the steps that are in your book that someone should go through to participate in the gig economy? It just sounds like something that has to evolve over time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I think when when people think about joining the gig economy or going out on their own or working independently, in their minds, I think they often think about it as a huge leap where, you know, you have to have this dramatic moment where you quit your job and then you are out on your own. And it really doesn't have to be that way. I think for any of your listeners that are interested in working independently or working differently than being a full-time employee in a full-time job, it's very easy to start gradually and over time. There's no need to have a dramatic leap.
Yeah, and is the gig economy changing the traditional job scene, or is it the other way around, or both? It just seems like things are in a flux.
Things are very much in transition, and it really is demand from both sides of the equation. Companies are very interested in using independent workers. They offer a lot of flexibility for companies to staff up and staff down in response to cycles. And they give companies a way to deal with skill shortages or hard to find talent. And in some cases, independent workers can be lower cost than employees. Not in all cases, but in some cases. For independent workers or for people who used to be employees, the data is pretty clear that the majority of people who are working independently do so by choice. Most of the data indicates that more than 70% of people who go out on their own do so by choice. That leaves just a small minority, about 25%, that are really coping with the gig economy. So maybe they got laid off from a job, or maybe they were downsized and they would prefer to have a full-time job, but they can't find one, so they're working independently. But for the majority of people, it's a choice. And as I said, you can move into it gradually. And often the best and easiest way to move into the gig economy is to start doing something on the side in addition to your full-time job. And I would even say, don't even put the pressure on yourself to do something that generates income. Just start doing something on the side that reflects an interest that you have, or something that you're curious about, or that allows you to pursue an activity or a skill or an area of interest that you're, you know, that you've always had in mind that you'd like to do. I think that no matter what, if you start doing something on the side that interests you, even if it doesn't generate income, it really offers you the chance to build additional skills outside of your job. It expands your network, and it really opens up opportunities for the future. So I think that's a great sort of incremental step that people can take if they're thinking about exploring independent work, but they're not quite sure yet.
Kind of sounds like career diversification, which is a great idea in my mind.
Absolutely. I mean, there really is no job security anymore. I mean, you know, I know that when people have a job and they have a paycheck, you know, it's easy to lull yourself into thinking that everything is stable and secure, but our economy is so incredibly volatile, that's so dynamic, that at any time, you know, any of us could be let go or downsized or laid off, or companies get acquired. I work a lot with entrepreneurial companies and startups. They can fail to raise a financing, or they go under. So our economy is very dynamic. We don't know what's coming around the corner. And it really makes sense to be prepared and be thinking about our next step, even if we're in a full-time job.
We're going to take a little music break. This is Heartstock Radio, and we're speaking with Diane Mulcahy. She's the author of Gig Economy. We'll be right back.
As I went walking, I saw a sign.
trespassing, but on the other side, it didn't say nothing.
Good evening, you're listening to Heartstock. Thanks for being here. I'm Carol Murphy, and this evening our guest is Diane Mulcahy, and she is the author of The Gig Economy. Lots of people out there participating in the gig economy. Just how big is it, Diane?
Most of the data suggests that the gig economy represents about a third of our workforce. So about 30% of people are working in some capacity in the gig economy. So that can mean that they're working independently full-time or that they're doing something on the side. The data also suggests that the gig economy is growing very quickly. Some of the estimates suggest that 40 to 50% of the workforce will be working independently in some capacity in the next couple of years. So we're seeing very rapid growth.
Mm. And we also hear a lot about some of the disadvantages on how Uber drivers have no benefits or retirement. So how do we cope and kind of balance that?
Yeah, and that's definitely true. I mean, there are people who are working independently. I mean, if you're working independently, you sort of by definition don't have access to employer-provided benefits like health insurance or 401k, et cetera. But what we are seeing is that that situation also exists in the traditional jobs economy. If you think about a retail worker or somebody who works at a fast food restaurant, they also might have something that looks more like a traditional job, but they don't have control over their hours. They rely on their employer to tell them how much they work every week and when they work. And they also generally don't have access to employer-provided benefits like health insurance or retirement. So I do think it's important to note that this phenomenon of workers that are poorly paid and that lack access to employer-provided benefits isn't unique to the gig economy, unfortunately. It's systemic in our economy, and it's a problem that exists in our jobs economy as well as the gig economy. And that's really a result of our labor policies. So I think if we want to provide workers consistently with access to benefits, we really need to create a labor market that supports everyone who works, not just full-time employees. I do think in the gig economy, at least now, there are options for people to create their own set of benefits, their own safety net, if you will. The Affordable Care Act, it still exists for now, does provide a way for people who work independently to purchase health insurance on their own. A lot of people who are working in the gig economy also get access to health insurance through a spouse or a domestic partner or parents who have access to traditional employer-provided benefits. So there are lots of ways that people are accessing health insurance when they work independently. In terms of retirement benefits, it's not very well known, but you can actually save more and faster if you're an independent worker than if you're an employee. Although employers offer 401k benefits, you're capped in terms of how much you can save through those investment vehicles. If you work independently, you can open independent retirement accounts that have an individual 401ks that have much higher limits. So if you're a highly paid independent worker, you can save much more and much faster for retirement. So it really depends on what kind of worker you are, where you might find the most benefits in terms of retirement.
Yeah, and then things like disability and, you know, if you have some time off and need that extra coverage, are there other safety nets that independent workers can tap into?
Yeah, I mean, disability is a great one because I think, you know, a lot of people don't really pay attention to that. And a lot of employers do offer disability insurance, and it's not very well known, but in many cases, that is portable when you leave the company. So if you're getting ready to leave a full-time job and your employer offers disability insurance, you can ask HR whether that's a policy that you can continue to pay the premium for and keep when you leave. In the absence of that, you can buy disability insurance on the individual market. I have to say it's expensive, and it's disability insurance is a difficult purchase, but it is available to people who want it. And I've interviewed, obviously, hundreds of independent workers as part of the research for my book. And there's a real mix of whether people choose to keep disability insurance or not. It's really a personal choice. The most common insurance that people choose to maintain after health insurance, which everybody maintains, is life insurance. And that's fairly straightforward and fairly reasonably priced to get on the private market. So once you leave full-time employment, you can go ahead and get that insurance on the private market.
And it just seems like there's such a freewheeling, beautiful aspect of being part of the gig economy too. Lots of freedom and choices. Can you talk about that side of it too?
Sure. I do think that the gig economy represents a real opportunity. I think that, and what I've heard from people that I've interviewed, is that full-time work doesn't work for everybody. There are a lot of people out in the workforce who are having a lot of trouble and a fair amount of stress trying to balance a full-time job with other commitments and responsibilities in their life, personal life, or maybe other things that they would like to do. Maybe they're a creative professional or they're an athlete. There are other things that are important to them in their lives, and they have trouble balancing that. So the gig economy really offers a way for people to take control of their work life and fit in their work life around their personal life in a way that most people aren't able to achieve in a full-time job. So a lot of the workers that I interview who go out and work independently, you know, it's fairly universal whether they make more money or less money as an independent worker. And there are plenty of examples of people who make more. And there are also examples of people who essentially take a pay cut to go out on their own. But it's fairly universal that once they have gone out on their own, they really love it. And they would not go back to full-time employment for any reason. That's a fairly common sentiment, which is interesting. And I think it's because they do get used to having the control over their life and the ability to make the choice about how they want to spend their time, how much they want to work, how much income they want to earn. They can choose to work, you know, less over the summer when school's out and more at other times of the year, you know, before Christmas when they want to, you know, get more presents under the tree. So it really gives people a lot of choice and autonomy in their lives.
Yeah, that is especially appealing, being able to create your own schedule in some ways and carve out more open and free time, vacation time, family time, things of that nature. Definitely appealing. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, who your mentors are, and is there somebody that has helped you create your own gig economy?
I haven't had that question before. That's interesting. I have to say, I don't think that I've had a mentor in the sense that there's somebody who I've seen or have witnessed, you know, leaving a full-time job, going out independently, building a business that has particularly influenced me. And I think that's fairly common. I think that when you go out independently, the type of business that you want to run and how you want to structure your personal and professional lives is so personal. I think there's enormous variety in how people end up doing that. I do, however, think that there are so many examples now that where you can just look around and see people who are out starting their own businesses, whether it's a creative business, a consulting business, you know, marketing, graphic design, freelance writing. There are so many examples where people are very open about their independent work. I think now, even if you go on LinkedIn, you know, there's a real bifurcation. It used to be that everybody had, you know, their title and their employer listed on their profile. And now I think you see a lot more profiles where people have a bunch of nouns, you know, like myself. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, I'm a consultant. And that's increasingly the way that people choose to structure their professional lives. So I think there are a lot more examples, you know, if you look around, that you can use for inspiration or for ideas or for a path to going out on your own.
And how about your students? What are some of your favorite examples of folks that have gone out and created beautiful careers for themselves in the gig economy?
Yeah, I've really had some great examples, and I get emails from my students all the time, even a year or two after they've taken my class. And I think one of my favorite examples is a student of mine who, you know, it was really an epiphany to realize that he didn't have to go through campus recruiting and get a job. And he really latched on to the idea. And when he graduated, he started an Airbnb business. He rented a bunch of apartments and, with the cooperation of the landlords, put them on Airbnb. He got a manager locally to help manage them on a day-to-day basis. And then he went and traveled the world for a year. And so I got an email from him with a whole bunch of pictures of his travels and telling me about his business. So that's definitely one of my favorites. But I've had other, you know, students who, I had one student who 3 years after taking my class, he said, you know, it's taken me this long, but I, you know, planned to quit my job. I started getting some clients on the side. I was able to grow that while I was working until I felt comfortable making the leap. He had a young family, so he wanted to make sure he was financially stable. He ended up moving cities. He had a really long commute that he was doing every day that he hated. And when he went out on his own, he moved to a place that he enjoyed being because he no longer had to do a commute. He was working independently. He could work from home. So he really changed his whole life over the course of the several years after he took the course. And I think that's a great example of, again, it doesn't have to happen overnight. He really wanted to be deliberate and intentional about putting together a plan. And the plan took a couple of years, and that was fine. He was able to do it in a way that made sense for him and his family and allowed him to make sure that he was financially stable.
So this is the saddest part of the show when I have to tell everyone that we've run out of time. So how might listeners reach you and find you, Diane?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is dianemulcahy.com, or you can do a search on Diane Mulcahy and gig economy, and I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn and all over the internet. I write pretty frequently about the gig economy.
And lots of other really cool stuff. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been fun.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
This is Heartstock, and I'm Carol Murphy. We'll see you next week. Peace.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org.
That sign was made.